gentlemen, to the show that's all about unity and corrects at 9500. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously irradiated island-chained nation of New Zealand, the centre of the light that simply emanates out of this universe, a man named John Key, who nothing can stick to. That's why they call him Teflon John. And I think he's just a real sinister scumbaggery filthmonger, hence I call him the Prime Sinister. Welcome, one and all, ladies, gentlemen, test tube babies, and government experiments alike, which actually that kind of includes most of us, because they're experimenting on us all the time without our knowledge, without our consent. And as soon as people start figuring out what the game is, boy, oh boy, do they come down on you like a ton of corrects at 9500. And here to give us a very special report, and for those of you who listen regularly and listen in the chat room, or any of you who are listening live now, you want to be, well, basically keeping one ear to the radio, and you want to be text messaging, calling friends, family, people everywhere to get them to tune into this show. Because we, and I'm talking about just this particular show right here, right now. So you need to be getting your Shiite Muslim together as we speak and get people listening. Get people listening. Come on, just do it. Don't, you know, I'm just giving you an order here. I don't normally do it, but really, you got to do it. Why? Because there is no other media apparatus basically in the world who will give you the information that we're about to disclose here on the Vinnie Eastwood Show regarding the ongoing Gulf of Mexico massacre. You would have recalled that a few years ago, a giant oil rig, of course, owned by BP and subsequently sabotaged by Halliburton, as you do, caused an environmental catastrophe of never before seen scale. Okay, this is the worst disaster, like, in the United States in terms of oil ever, and of course it's actually still going on. That's right, the pictures that they showed you of that beautiful, nice titanium depth gauge containing wellhead on the bottom of the seafloor is not a good place to be anymore. All right? They may have shown you that the oil has stopped coming out. The problem is it hasn't. Even a Russian scientist who was hired by BP, incidentally a freediving champion, Anatoly Segalevich, took a submarine to inspect the seabed in and around the wellhead. In up to 20-mile diameter around the wellhead, the seafloor itself cracked and oil was spewing forth out of the seafloor itself in many, many locations. This is still going on. The government is still dropping corrects at 9500 all over the Gulf, all over the Gulf residents and communities. And incidentally, that wonderful, wonderful corrects at 9500, which is incidentally owned by a Rockefeller affiliated company, causes oil to be, and I'm not joking here, 11 times more toxic than normal. If you think the Gulf spill is a spill, it isn't. If you think the Gulf oil cano, Gulf of Mexico massacre is over, I got news for you. It has only just begun. And we have a very special guest here to elaborate much more than I can. Her name is Deborah Dupre. Deborah, it is my privilege and honor to welcome you back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Vinnie, it's my privilege and honor to be back with you. We really appreciate this because so few people around the world know that about this crime against humanity and the environment. Yesterday, I was at the funeral, the Gulf funeral. There was a casket with images of the Gulf inside the casket. that was presented at BP headquarters, Vinny, on Poydras Street in New Orleans. People gathered there, gave speeches. There were plenty of signs. And one woman, a very prominent Gulf advocate, human rights advocate, more or less crossed the line, risked being arrested so that she could hand deliver a list of demands to BP. She wasn't arrested, Vinny, but I think 3 or 4 of the 10 items have to do with Corexit. And you're absolutely right. It is still being sprayed. Yesterday was one of the first times I'd actually personally seen someone with the neurological damage that Corexit causes. He managed to get to the funeral and he spoke. We walked in a procession down to the federal courthouse where the casket was actually exposed. The lid was removed so that the mourners could see. And this gentleman was one of the speakers. He can't hold even his hand still. He can't. He shakes all over. He says that he would really be better off dead than the way he is now, and his family would be better off too, because the payments would actually look after his family instead of them all suffering the way they're doing now. He is one of an untold number who are suffering this type of horrendous condition of the Corexit. And as you know, it's banned in 18. This is a lethal substance that's being used to carpet bomb Americans by our own military, including the Coast Guard, along with BP, a foreign entity. Go figure.
When the Gulf spill first happened, and they were talking about the numbers of how much the cleanup would cost, the cleanup cost was greater than that of the value of the company known as BP. And I was just thinking, why doesn't the US just suddenly say, dude, you just messed up big time. We are taking your company, yoink! And you ain't ever given it back. It's ours now. You don't got nothing, okay? That's the consequence of fracking up the entire Gulf Coast. I mean, where does the bulk of the seafood come from in the United States?
You 30% comes from the Gulf, and it's still coming from the Gulf, and it's being shipped all over the continent, all the way up into Canada. They're eating poison. And they're being told it's okay. They're being told, come swim in the water. I wish more people could have seen the sores on the people who just managed to drag themselves out to the street yesterday. It was really one of the saddest things I've ever seen in my life. And they're talking about the children bleeding from all orifices. Closets at school filled with breathing apparatus so the children can breathe. And all we hear from the officials, everything's okay. Everything's fine. Everything's safe down in the Gulf. Come get your dose of it. Be sure to eat a lot of Gulf seafood while you're down here and swim in that water.
Now, it's almost as if they're not just trying to put people's minds at ease. They're trying to kill everybody.
Well, I hear that a lot. It doesn't make sense. I mean, there's the tourist dollar. Yeah, that's really important. And of course, you know who supplies the military with more petrol than anywhere else. 3 guesses, Vinny. It's BP.
Well, oh, what a tangled web we weave, a tangled web indeed.
Now, BP and the U.S. military have been in bed with each other ever since the first time we went in and took over, or we disrupted what was going in Iran for their oil. So this is not a new relationship that the United States military has with BP. It goes way back then. And And it's not going to stop. I mean, it was really, really pitiful. About 80 people showed up for the funeral yesterday. They each had their story to tell. One was more heart-wrenching than the next.
But well, they were just the ones that could actually make it, who weren't sick and dying so badly that they couldn't even get out of the house to come down. They're the people that actually have survived up till this point. That's why so few people have turned out, is what my guess is.
One of the key Gulf leaders from New Orleans wasn't there because she did die about 4 months ago. She's not the first one. And not only that, there are almost 20 other very prominent Gulf advocates who have either died unexpectedly, been imprisoned, or just disappeared off the face of the earth when they were just ready to release independent research data. So the people who are out there trying to raise awareness are actually very courageous, not only because of their physical disabilities, but because of the threat that they're under. And we even know now that BP has threatened the doctors to give false diagnoses, to not test, etc. All of this is recorded now. They're monsters. It's a two-headed monster.
Well, I think it's more like a multi-headed monster, because when you're dealing with the government, you have all their assorted alphabet agency soups. And when you're dealing with BP, or you're dealing with any major mega uber scary corporation that's owned by people at a global and central level, like the Queen of England having a huge amount of shares in BP, that kind of thing, for all intents and purposes, own it. Shell's owned by Queen Beatrix of the Netherlands.
And President Obama so much for his campaign last time.
Yeah, I mean, that buys you a lot of weight in Hollywood by buying them, doesn't it? You know, it was determined quite some time ago by a lot of mega evil scumbaggery filth corporations and people in the United States that in order to buy off all of Congress would only cost them $30 million a year. So they did it, and they've been bought off ever since.
Yeah, and so it continues. But do you know how many people are have been directly impacted by this poison now?
I was thinking around the region of between 20 and 30 million, because that's the size of essentially the coastal areas of the Gulf at this point.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And yesterday we heard an estimate as high as 50 million. The New Orleans Times-Picayune newspaper has reported there's been an 800% increase in miscarriages alone since this began.
Did you say 800% increase in miscarriages?
Yes, Vinny, 800%.
When Fukushima went up, there was reports of a 30% increase in that on the coast of California.
That's right. That's right. Oh. And it's the radioactive material down here as well. People are losing their hair. I sat next to one woman who said her hair was just falling out. She has bald spots on her head. Then she started the nosebleeds. Then she started, I think, after that came kidney and bladder infections that do not go away. One of my very best friends, we're talking, something like 200 miles from the Gulf, has these same symptoms. I, for lack of a better word, I call it the Gulf plague. Nobody has really been able to identify exactly what it is, but it is a plague. Tens of thousands of people have these exact same symptoms, and some people, like I say, well, I mean, I personally, I told you, my cousin at Pensacola Beach died 4 months ago, very fast acting cancer. Fast acting of unknown source.
You see, this is the thing that you have to really understand about your government, especially for people in the United States. They tested sarin gas on a New York City subway without telling anybody. They stuck U.S. troops in the path of radiation as they detonated nuclear weapons in the desert to see what kind of effect it would have on people. Not only do they not care whether or not you survive, but they actually make an active effort to get the test subject groups even larger so that they can study the effects. Kind of like somebody gradually, while a spider is still alive, ripping off each individual leg and watching it bleed. Just a very sick, psychopathic, uncaring malice, unwavering.
That's exactly right, and this has been called the greatest non-consensual human experimentation in history. I think Hitler would be very proud of the people who are doing this. The same thing is happening here, and the government entities keep saying, oh, but we need more tests run. They're not offering 1 ounce of humanitarian aid, but they have money for more tests. It doesn't make sense to me unless it's just for evil purposes. That doesn't have anything to do with BP or Nalco that makes Corexit. That doesn't have anything to do with their profits.
Yeah, exactly. We'll have to be talking about I really want to discuss the evil of this for people and get it through your heads that there are some bad people in this world who are very powerful. We'll be back in a minute with Deborah Dupre on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Bonkers.
I wake up every day is a daydream. Everything in my life ain't what it seems. I wake up just to go back to sleep. I act real shallow, but I'm in too deep. I know I care about is sex and violence, and every baseline is my kind of silence. Everybody says that I gotta get a grip, but unless I let you give me the slip.
Bonkers.
Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm free, and I'm just living my life with nothing crazy about me. Some people pay for thrills, but I get mine for free. Man, I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me.
Welcome back. You're listening to the deadliest 2 hours in talk radio. It might get a little bit bonkers, but hey, how else are you going to understand how the system works unless you go just a little bit mad? And how are you going to retain your sanity unless you got a little bit of humor? You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, it is assured that if you lose your sense of humor, you'll go friggin' nuts, man. Yes, it is the sad reality that we live in. However, there's a lot of happy things that happen in reality too. And just because we focus on some of the nasty, terrible ones and that kind of thing doesn't mean that all those good things don't exist. It just means that they exist at the same time. Nothing's all bad and nothing's all good. Everything is a little bit mixed up, and don't feel afraid. No. Under any circumstances. Why? Because when you're afraid, it stops you from thinking. My very special guest is Deborah Dupre, and we're talking about the ongoing Gulf of Mexico massacre. And we wanted to take some callers, ladies and gentlemen, if you live in the Gulf or in an area affected by the Gulf oil cano, which would be like everywhere, especially if you're eating seafood from the Gulf, which they all say is safe when it's not. We'd like to hear from you. 218-339-8525. And if you have a very bad medical condition, we'll be patient and hear you out, of course, because a lot of people are actually getting what I've seen is sort of speech impediments as well from this. There's so many things. It's like nervous system disorders. It's a disorder of every kind. And you coined it quite poignantly, Deborah, is that it's the Gulf plague, you know, except it doesn't come on off of fleas that are on the backs of rats. It comes from rats that are running the government and corporations.
Excellent way to put it yourself there, Vinny. I'm afraid that's just exactly what it is, you know. And you called the other condition of the perpetrators sociopathic, which is, you know, psychopath, sociopath. There's no remorse. They lie about it. They are not sorry. They continue to keep doing it. They haven't stopped spraying the Corexit. It's almost 2 years. The people have begged. The people have pleaded. We have a couple of congressmen who tried to get laws passed to put a stop to it, and Congress says no, they need to keep doing it. And afterwards, as a couple of the people who were there yesterday saw, there were people high-fiving in Congress after it was passed that they could continue to carpet bomb the people.
It's because they just got a $20 million payout as a result.
Yay.
You know, what do you want? 20 million bucks for yourself, or do you want 20 million people in the Gulf to still be alive next year?
Well, it's obvious. With that answer's really obvious now, isn't it? You know, one of the
I want to take the 20 million because I work in Congress, you know, and that's what I do. I sit there and I eat Prozac and Starburst and I make sure that legislation gets passed that exterminates people, and as a result, I get to usurp a monumental amount of wealth for myself, so I could buy several homes that I won't live in, several cars that I won't drive, and bang several hussies that I don't have to call.
Yep, that's right. That's what it's all about. That's what makes the world go around, isn't it, Vinny? I'll tell you, one of the best lines yesterday after a woman talked about the two realities. There's a safe Gulf myth, and then there's the reality of thousands of people who are sick and dying, and dolphins and fish washing up dead every single day. All this gushing oil that has never stopped, just like Matt Simmons said it wouldn't. But the government, and of course BP, oh yeah, it's capped, oh yeah, oh well, mission accomplished, you know. But anyway, one of the Cajuns, you know what a Kunas is, huh?
No.
You heard from Kunas? Oh, it's real popular term used for Cajuns. They're called a Kunas. He says, well, I'm a Kunas, but I'm not a dumbass. He says they're lying to us. Everybody down here knows they're lying, but there, you see what they've done is with their multi-million dollar marketing campaigns on television, they make all the rest of the country seem like this was over to go. So there's nothing happening down here. They have covered it up so well, even our own fellow Americans are not reaching out with humanitarian aid for the people who are dying down here. There's almost just absolutely nothing from the government to help people live.
Now, you know how the oil keeps washing up every day? I've been hearing reports that what they've got is these midnight cleanup crews. And what they do is they go in the dead of night, these huge amounts of people, vehicles, the whole nine yards, just like you saw in broad daylight once upon a time. They've now turned that all into night missions. And if you're seen, and you're not one of those crew members, and if you're seen on the beaches of night, you better watch out because they'll come get you. You know, like if you're taking, especially if you're taking photos of any of the wildlife that's washed up, if you're taking tarballs away or anything like that, these cops or these BP officials will show up and detain
Whack and
you.
Hut. How about Whack and Hut, the private mercenaries? They've been employed by BP to be down there to keep to make sure that that the secret is kept really well. What you're hearing is true. This is it's just phenomenal that it could be happening, that it could have ever happened, much less that we're going on 2 years. I mean, when it came on to 1 year, I just was horrified and thought, I can't believe this has been a year. This is coming on 2 years of this. On April 20th, that's when it'll be 2 years. They cover the oil with white sand, so that, and then they tell tourists to come play in it.
Wait. And they also have issued fines as well, like a local ordinance in Pensacola Beach or something, I heard, that if you dig more than a few inches into the sand, you can get a fine?
Yeah, there's a new rule now. No digging in the sand, children. That's against the law.
Yeah, see, and the reason they don't want that to happen is because every night when those cleanup crews come by, not only do they, not only do they clean up all the dead animals, because every single dead animal that's like an endangered species or something is like a $40,000, $50,000 fine or what have you, which would all be directly attributed to BP and Halliburton, of course. They take those out very quickly. And also, on top of that, you have sand being bunched up over all the oil and tar balls and everything that washed up that night, so that now anytime you go digging, you see kind of like layers of sand, layers of tar ball, layers of sand, layers of tar ball, and they keep doing it. It's unbelievable. Like the amount of expense and man hours that must go into ongoingly keep this up. It's just the mind reels.
Yes, and I'll tell you, I've been working on my book, which is going to be out by this second year anniversary. Everything that you've talked about is in the book, Vinny. I just feel like it's so important to get the word out more than we've been able to. So, and one of the things, you practically mentioned vampires. That's what they're like. These people are just like heartless, soulless vampires. And so that's in the title of my book, actually, Vinny. It's Vampire of Macondo.
Vampires what?
Vampire of Macondo. Macondo is the well. And, just as oil guru Matt Simmons had said, what people were seeing on television, the oil that was spewing on this wonderful Hollywood production underwater of the oil spewing was not even where the real trouble was. The real trouble was far worse than people saw on television. But, of course, they staged this entire production, even the capping of the well. And then they said it was successful, all the while, little ways down the track on the floor of the Gulf, the oil was still gushing and has been ever since then. And we know because of the fingerprint of the oil, it's been proven now. And the latest is that there may even be a third gusher in the vicinity. And that if BP was actually responsible for that.
Whoa. You said there was a third? I didn't even know there was a second.
Oh, Matt, that's what Matt Simmons said within 3 weeks of the event. When they were showing, when people were watching on television, he was saying, this is all a lie. This is a dog and pony show. This is a sham. And, of course, the networks just really discredited him. They called him Mr. Doom. He was the first one to say that 40 million people needed to be evacuated if we wanted them to live. He said it was more than we could even fathom, but that was the right thing to do because the oil would not stop flowing. What they had done was so serious to the planet, it would not stop flowing and it would kill people unless they were evacuated. Well, of course, nobody paid attention to him. And finally, when he came out, he had come out and even added to that near his home in Camden, Maine, at a meeting there, a community meeting. He said the same thing. He said, they are lying to you. I'm telling you, they're lying. This is not what's going on down there. And if they did tell the truth, everybody involved would go to jail. So they're not going to tell the truth. And then, of course, 2 weeks later, he was found dead, supposedly died of a heart attack, relaxing in his hot tub.
Oh, yeah, because there's no more stressful event in your life than taking a jacuzzi.
Yeah, it's pretty stressful, those jacuzzis.
I mean, I can remember the last time I was in a jacuzzi, it was excruciating.
I know.
I almost died, it was that much of a pain. I mean, I was also having a beer at the same time as I was in that jacuzzi, I thought that my world was going to end. Come on. They don't even kill people properly anymore. Have these people gotten lazy? Or what? Like, they've got the ability to cover up a Gulf oil spill on a consistent basis and clean up dead bodies of animals and roll over entire beaches every day, right? But for some reason, they can't just kill a guy outside of suspicious circumstances. They can't say, oh, he was so upset over the Gulf, he hung himself, or, oh, you know, he shot himself in the head while he was asleep. You know, they can't even do it right anymore. And that's why you know that things are really, really bad when they think that they don't have to do things like that anymore to keep it covered up. It's almost like they're waving it in your face.
It's like they don't even care. It's so blatant what they're doing. Honestly, I'm at a point where, after seeing what I saw yesterday, particularly, look, I didn't even want to speak yesterday because I felt like I had so little hope to offer people. Look at what they're up against. They're up against the mightiest military force in the world, the U.S. military, right? And they're up against big energy. And those two are codependent. They're in bed together. That's what people are up against. What do you do, Vinny? I saluted the people who came out. You know, because it takes so much. They know what they're risking just by doing what they do.
Courage.
You know
what
the best things was? Homeland Security was parked right there to make sure that they were protecting the country. Wasn't that good of them?
Oh, yeah. Because if there's one thing that makes me feel safer, it's something that has the exact same name as a division set up by Nazi Germany after they burnt down their own parliament as a perfect pretext to demonize people who didn't want to live under tyranny. You know, did you know that Hitler set up the Department of Homeland Security? You know, it's like
the fatherland.
Again, they're waving it in our face. They don't care. It's like the times of Nero out there or something like that. And Barack Obama, they've done a, you know, speaking of Nero, Barack Obama has actually had like a psychological analysis done on him by certain people. And allegedly they say that his mentality is exactly that of the Emperor Nero, who burned down Rome in a mad rage. If I can't have it, nobody can. And this is the world that we are now living in, a world of people who are so powerful that it has driven them so insane, so arrogant, so full of hubris, that they don't even feel that they need to even make an excuse anymore. It's like they're pissing on you without even the courtesy of calling it rain. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. A very special guest is Deborah Dupre. We'll be right back after the break. Please join us in the chat room at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and call in 218-339-8525. Back in a minute.
We're gonna make love. You know how I know? Because it's Wednesday, and Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV. You haven't had your social netball team practice, so you're not too tired. Oh yeah, sounds like it's all on. You say something to me like, I might go to bed, I've got work in the morning. But I know what you mean. You mean, oh yeah, it's business time. It's business time.
It's business. It's business time.
That's what you mean. You mean it's business time.
It's business. It's business time.
Yeah.
Welcome back, right, ladies and gentlemen.
We go brush our teeth. That's all part of it. That's foreplay.
Welcome back to the show that's all about foreplay. But it's still very important. It's the sexiest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show. It's all about business time. Speaking of business time, BP. Have BP or have BP not posted record profits of late? Deborah, do you know?
Oh, they're doing great guns. And so is Nalco, the maker of Corexit. They were up 6% last time I checked.
And last time I checked, before the Gulf crisis, Corexit had been made illegal everywhere, and Nalco had made a heck of a lot of this Corexit 9500, and they didn't know what the heck they were going to do with it. And they were going to be facing a, well, basically, a very, very expensive toxic waste disposal bill if not Neuron go out of business. But conveniently...
Just, I know, so many conveniences.
Yeah, like Boots and Coots, for example. You know, conveniently Halliburton bought Boots and Coots.
One week before?
11 days. It was 11 days before the Gulf of Mexico oil crisis started. They bought the world's largest oil cleanup company. How convenient. You know? Wait, hold on a second. Who was doing the sealing of the wellhead? Who was doing the concreting? Oh, yeah, it was Halliburton.
Halliburton.
Yeah, and why was it that they only used like a third of the required concrete for that amount of drilling? Why was it that Blackwater mercenaries were seen scuttling away from the rig moments before it exploded into flames and blew up, you know? Oh, I think it must, I mean, those Blackwater guys, man, it must have been pretty convenient, you know? It's like, man, thank goodness we just got away from that oil rig that we planted explosives on. I mean, we're just randomly visiting for absolutely no reason. How convenient we got out of there before it blew up.
It was just a coincidence that they were there.
I mean, come on. And the reason why, how does nobody know about this? Well, mate, there has been a total media blackout, TMB, I can assure you. Nobody knows about this. You know what was the last time we heard something about the Gulf of Mexico crisis, Deborah? Last year on the anniversary for like 60 seconds.
I know. Well, thank goodness SBS over there. I really salute SBS because they did one of the best programs on what's happened in the Gulf. They even showed Wilma Subra, one of our greatest human rights defenders, who's really risked her life to the point where she had guys shooting through her front door to try to get her to shut up and stop what she was doing, proving she was one of the first persons to prove how dangerous this Corexit mixed with the crude is for the people. And she's one of the ones who's really, really been intimidated. And good old SBS down in Australia showed all of that. It was a 60 or 90 minute program that SBS did. I'm hoping they'll do another one, of course. Mm. Oh, the French know more about this than the people in the United States. The French have done some really wonderful programs on it as well. But it's the health conditions. You know, Dr. Mike Robichaux here in South Louisiana is such, he's just one of our heroes. And he says he defies anybody to find anything about the health, the people dying, the miscarriages, the deformities, the neurological disorders, bleeding from orifices, any of it. In a major, one of our top five newspapers here, because they will not do it. They are just not letting people know how serious this is, that it's literally killing people. They've just covered it up. All of the health of these people.
Well, as far as I know, it's not just been the newspapers and the media that have been bought out. They've also been buying out universities and such like that. I mean, can you kind of break down for us, Deborah? Just there's a lot of levels of credibility and information flow in society. Just how many of those have been, well, covered up? I mean, how many people have been bought off, corrupted? You know, are we talking about government agencies, corporations, media outlets, doctors, everything?
Yeah, every major university in the South right along the Gulf Coast has received millions and millions of dollars for BP research. I call it BP research because it's not real. It's it BP decides what can and cannot be reported. And if they don't, if they say, well, no, we don't want to do it that way, then they don't get the money. And that that started happening within weeks, within the first few weeks of the event. And I have the breakdown here. I'm going to pull it up for you while I speak, if I can find it here. The other thing, of course, is same with the physicians here. They've been threatened. They've been paid off to keep their mouths shut, to never write that the conditions that the people are going in complaining about have anything to do with chemical poisoning. They won't test them. If you don't run tests, you can't diagnose. So they weren't testing, they're not diagnosing properly, but they're treating with more and more antibiotics, which of course weakens the immunity system so that the people are suffering even more, and they're becoming weaker and weaker, and this has been going on for 2 years. This is medical malpractice to the hilt, and BP has managed to conduct the same type of control over the medical system. And, you know, at first I didn't understand at all until I found out that the same thing had happened not long ago by another oil company. A very well-known doctor in New Orleans was treating people, and he was filing the reports and making noise. All of a sudden, he robbed a bank. He was accused of robbing a bank. They put him in jail. And, you know, every doctor in New Orleans knows that happened to him. And the court goes along with it. The judge goes along with it. They're all part of the system. And he is still in jail. He is still in prison.
Seems the best of us wind up getting set up as soon as we're about to make major breakthroughs.
Can happen to absolutely anybody.
Well, not anybody. It's about priority. Anybody. You know, like, yeah. if you've got credibility, if you've got money, or if you've got the power of persuasion, you may become a target if you use that power for good. And what's happening now is that, you know, the people are being, indiscriminately poisoned, aren't they?
Well, the poisoning is indiscriminate. It definitely is. But then we know some people who've been sprayed deliberately. People who were trying to give a voice to the Gulf, if they were spotted out on the water or whatever, I've known planes to go right down and spray them. That was being reported within months of the beginning of this. This is dirty work.
Yeah, and FAA regulations forbid you from flying that low anyway. So whoever the heck is involved here, we're talking about a massive conspiracy that involves, basically the biggest of the biggest of the baddest of the baddest. And there's no telling. Now, end game, though, Deborah, what is their end goal here? What do they want? Deborah, are you there?
I'm sorry. I'm here. Can you hear me? You're breaking up a lot. What was the question?
I was just wondering what's their end goal with this entire thing,
Vinny? I really don't want to come off like somebody who's just too suspicious or whatever. But it just seems to me they don't want these people alive. I don't know if they want their land. I don't know if they want to just make sure that they're all dead and can't talk about it, or they won't have to pay as much. Maybe it would help the economy a bit, because the poorest people live along the Gulf. You know, that's one way of looking at it. I've looked at the Navy 5-year plan, you know. Some people say, hey, you know, the Navy was planning on testing weapons, and biochemical weapons was one of the weapons of mass destruction that the Navy had every intention of using in the Gulf. Did they already start? It was supposed to start about the same time as this event. So is that part of it?
Maybe that was actually their first weapons test They're testing on whether or not they can blow oil wells up and destroy entire societies and cover it up and get away with it. One of the most prolific and dangerous weapons of war is one that destroys the environment in which you live on an ongoing basis. My very special guest, that's just a theory on my part, my very special guest is Deborah Dupre, and we are talking about the Gulf of Mexico ongoing massacre, and you will not hear this information anywhere else, so please call people over the break, get them to call in, get them to listen to this show right now, and share the archives afterwards. We'll be right back for the next hour with Deborah Dupre. Done a new logo for Monsanto as well, called Moron Santo.
Wonderful. Unity.
It's what we need.
What we need.
Welcome back. It is hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. The lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humor, you'll go freaking nuts. My very special guest is Deborah Dupre. And we have a caller on the line here. And also, Tracy, if you're listening in, now would be the time to call. So we'll go to our first caller here. Area code 814. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yo, we can barely hear you. You're going to have to speak up.
Okay, I'm Ed Lochran, and I happen to be a friend of Stu Webb, and he's well aware of Mrs. Dupre, and he has an awful lot of information available. If you would want to contact him, Vinny.
Sure.
And I might add to the knowledge base what's going on down at the Gulf. And that's basically what I wanted to call for. Stu Webb.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a website for him?
Yes, I do. And all you have to do is type in stuwebb.com. And there's a contact number. On the internet, go for it.
Oh, there we are, stuweb.com. I've got it. I'll send him an email and ask him to come on.
Yeah, he was just on with Carrie Cassidy the other day, Project Camelot. And I've been interviewed by Carrie back on November the 6th. I've done an extensive work on the ballistics and the forensics on the John F. Kennedy assassination. So
that's your particular area of interest, is it?
One of many.
Well, we're having some major feedback coming through your side. You don't have the radio on there, do you, Ed?
Well, I'll tell you, I'll mute it down. Yeah.
You're breaking up, pretty badly. We're finding it difficult to hear you.
There, is that better now?
Vinny. I'm really glad to hear that from Stu Webb's friends. I know Stu, and he really does have some interesting things to contribute.
Yes, he does.
The reasons this is happening. Yeah, so give him my best regards, please.
I will. I'll talk to him later on this evening. Yeah,
right.
I highly recommend that maybe you all get together, you know, and warn these people, you know, as to the hazards and the dangers that they're facing in the Gulf region. And I think we really are entering a real time frame of serious genocide and a depopulation period. And it's pure evil. It's very sinister. And they play us all as clueless fools, and we're not. You know, like Carrie Cassidy, you know, awake and aware. And I admire her, and I thank her for her work, and I thank you, Vinny, and also you, Deborah. And
thank you so very much. One of the biggest problems in the Gulf, I know a lot of people like to say, well, you know, they just don't realize they're going to die, and they need to get out of
there. Yes, they do.
Every time I speak to people who are really suffering, they realize. One of the persons I spoke to yesterday, I figure she has two more years. They do not have work. They do not have money. They do not have the physical strength to do what they need to do, even on a daily basis, much less try to work out where are they going to go when they're that sick. Who's going to want them? Who's going to take them? The rest of the country is not aware how serious this is. It's really hard to get your family up and out when you're bedridden. It's just a very, very strange and hopeless situation.
Well, it just goes to show you profit is more important than people, and people are just a human resource and an item that can be thrown away. And, you know, I mean, that's what they're faced with down at the Gulf. And if they have that attitude towards those folks down there living along the Gulf down through Louisiana in the Gulf states, then they have that same attitude towards all of us, you know, if you're not in that special elite group. So
well,
there is an agenda.
I've said the same thing about the way we treated people in other countries. We have done the same thing to people in other countries. I don't know whatever made people in America think they would be immune to the same type of treatment. Sooner or later, it would happen.
Well, you look at also chemtrails. Chemtrails, too. That's genocide. That's absolute genocide. And the HIV virus that was laced into the polio vaccine through the World Health Organization in the massive genocide in Africa. You know, it is pure evil. Pure evil. And it's a war against humanity. A war against the human race.
And it's not just such a simple question of everybody sue BP, you know, sue the pants off them or whatever. They own the courts.
They own the courts. That is correct. Yeah, they do. Stu Webb is having a horrific time. He's trying to get cases brought up before grand juries. And basically, you know, the complete court system is they're cowards. They won't stand up for justice, and you know, and this just gives more strength to, you know, the elites and the ones that are really controlling all of this, because they assume that they're untouchable, and that's where programs like yours and.
Ed, we seem to have lost you there. Okay. I was thinking about this the other day. How exactly do you resettle 30 to 40 million people? You know, that's never been done before. It'll be the biggest migration throughout history.
But shortly after this happened, 7,000 troops were sent down here. That was one of the reasons they were supposed to be coming, was to save people's lives from this. Guess what? That never happened. I don't know what those troops did, but they surely didn't help anybody down here. I mean, it could be done. We have evacuated, you know, 4, 5, maybe 6 million people, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
It could be done.
It would not be easy, but gee, we had so many of our wonderful troops here to help. We have so many very intelligent people. By not doing it, though, I think they knew what they were subjecting people to. They're just not that stupid.
Mm. Well, what kind of a barrier would you say would need to exist? I mean, where would be the southernmost states that people could live now? I mean, would it be as far north as Kansas or North Carolina?
There are people in as far inland as Tennessee that have had the same markings on their plants, the same markings on their bodies, who never went down to the Gulf. Their plants didn't go down to the Gulf. So we know that the winds have taken some of this up through the valley, like through the Mississippi River Valley. And I think the lower people were along the Mississippi River Valley, the worse they were impacted. I don't know anymore, Vinny. Between this and Fukushima, we've had...
Where do you escape to? There's no escape.
No, the only thing to do now is to occupy and coordinate, if you're well enough, to work directly against fascism, the corporate control of us.
I was having a conversation this morning earlier with a guy named Mark Persio, and what we were talking about is how knowledge is power, and with power comes responsibility. But it's actually a two-way street. Okay, power means you have to have responsibility for that power, and also responsibility means that you have power. And what I find is interesting about the people in the United States is history and all of that kind of stuff is that in big crises, people do come together to help each other, provided they know that there's a crisis going on. All those people who are bedridden, who can't get out, or don't have enough gas, or don't have enough money, or anything like that, I could probably assume that there would be many people within their community that have a seat spare in their giant GMC truck or whatever to get them to a different state to live with a cousin or to set up new communities elsewhere. You know, that kind of thing, it can be done. I mean, Fukushima is everywhere all around the world. It's here in New Zealand. It's up in Canada. It's everywhere. You know, it's an inescapable one. Whereas the Corexit ones is far more specific and far more intense along the coastline of the Gulf. So it's coming to the point where, you know, I think just evacuating the coastline at a minimum with hundreds of miles of the coastline, perhaps maybe 100-300 miles or something, it would definitely help people a lot more. And also at the same time, there's a lot of people who are talking about getting these certain supplements that can dispel Corexit in the blood. Have you heard of any of these types of things actually working, or is it once you're infected with this Gulf Corexit plague, you're dead?
Well, this is, you know, I've been very much involved with the supplements, the clay, the even baking soda. I helped Jeff Rentz compile a book of how to survive this. What we know is that, yes, definitely, some of them are very inexpensive ways. You can bathe in baking soda even every day, bathe in it. But what happens is if the symptoms start to go away, people begin to think they're okay. This has to be done over and over and over again because the toxins are still in the body. I know people who've gone to, well, even my daughter-in-law is quite ill with the Gulf plague, went to a detox center for a week, a very, very strict detox center, came out, felt better. Oh, it only took about 6 weeks. She's back in bed again. There's a new detox that Dr. Mike Robichaud has started in Raceland. It's a 21-day detox, and the poisons come out of the body so much. According to Kendra Arneson, who's really our lead Gulf advocate down here, sharp as a tack, young lady, but so sick. She's had a terrible time, she and her children. She said when the toxins started coming out, she had the sores all over her body. I have the pleasure of being with Dr. Paul Brown. And if you had any questions you wanted to ask about the toxicology aspect of this, he could explain very well what it does neurologically and also why it's so difficult. Once these poisons are inside of the body, it's just so very difficult. May I introduce you to Dr. Brown? He's just here right now. Vinny Eastwood. This is Paul. Dr. Brown.
Hello, Dr. Brown.
Good to be
here. Could you tell us just a little bit of your background and kind of who you are? Because I don't know you, I haven't met you before, but because you're there with Deborah, you've already got much respect.
Well, I'm not a medical doctor. I'm a neuroscientist, a PhD, and basic science tells us that fat-soluble toxins, like the ones that you get out of crude oil, are absorbed by the fatty tissues in the body, and they are not released quickly necessarily. They can be stored very securely by those tissues. And the nervous system has a large fraction of the lipids, as they're called, the fatty compounds in the body. And the nervous system, therefore, will become one of the major repositories for these organic compounds that are so bad for all of our organs, really. So when the nervous system begins to take up these toxic substances, there can initially be transient damage that, if you flush the toxic substances out fast enough, may be largely reversible. But if there's a chronic storage of these or re-exposure over time, then you start seeing nerve cell death. And nerve cells don't multiply. They don't replace themselves the way cells in other tissues in the body do. So once you lose nerve cells, you don't get them back. And the nervous system can readjust to some extent by relearning how to use what's left, basically. But that's a very limited process. So the longer a person is exposed, the longer before detoxification, the more likely that the damage will be permanent. And
Springs to my mind now that as we were talking about people detoxing and getting it out of their bodies over, say, a period of 21 days, that won't last forever because they're still spraying Corexit and it's still being carried on the head one. So it means that you would almost assuredly have to be doing a daily detox for the rest of your days.
Well, apparently some of the detox processes are themselves harmful to body tissues, and you can't continue them forever. You have to take breaks periodically to let your body recover from the detoxification process. And so it may take several detox passes before you start to clean out a significant portion of the toxins in the body.
But you're absolutely right. They're still spraying. So the people who are going through the detox are still being subjected to the exact same neurotoxins.
I mean, how can you be detoxed when you're still bathing in toxins? You know, that's the question.
It's kind of like sending someone to a rehab for the drinking problem, and then they keep drinking while they're in there, or the detox center keeps giving.
It's like welcome to the Betty Ford.
Better than not doing it at all, Vinny.
Yeah, welcome to the Betty Ford Clinic. Would you like some heroin? Would you with your coffee? It's a joke, you know. You can't detox if you're bathing in toxins. You know, it's pretty straightforward. I would have thought. You listen to the Vinny Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Deborah Dupre. Call in 218-339-8525. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Don't sit up.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the most technically plagued 2 hours in talk radio, it's the Vinny Eastwood Show. Enemies of Mossad, CIA, SIS, and various other MI5-related agencies. Know why? Because we tell the truth, and we get people on who get censored. And I just found out over the break that my BS logo, that's right, I made it, I redid the BP logo and turned it into BS, was taken down off of my Facebook page without me even knowing it. And I have just re-uploaded them. So I'm setting a stopwatch here to see how long it takes BP to take it down again. And I'm not joking, by the way. Am I, Deborah? This has been happening to a lot of people. Deborah, are you there?
Yeah, I've been getting messages for the past couple of weeks that more and... can you hear me there?
Yeah.
What was the other internet
saying? I can hear you. Okay, we're having some technical difficulties here.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. I've been getting messages for the past couple of weeks that anything that has anything to do with BP, and I think it's become a lot worse during the during this pre-trial period. A lot of what was on the internet is being pulled out. A lot of what's being put on can be pulled down within hours. So keep up the good work there, Vinny. We'll just keep putting it out there we need to have a different system, obviously. I don't know that anybody's come up with that yet to be able to maintain our communications through the internet when we're up against this kind of, like you say, a multi-headed monster.
Mm. Well, there have been some hackers who have said that what they want to do is actually launch their own satellites into the atmosphere so that they can provide the internet that way, free of any country's legislation.
I know, I've heard about that, and it's really, really hopeful, and I've met some people recently that have given the same type of hope to me. Well, they know people who are working on things like this, and they really do have the capacity to work for the good guys, to be working on behalf of humanity against these monsters. You know, I just sent a link over to you, Vinny, about my book that is due to be launched on the 20th of April in time for the second year anniversary, Vampire of Macondo. And anybody who wants to help out with the research, these last finishing touches, they can order a copy of that, and they will receive one of the very first copies of the book signed by yours truly. And, yeah, we would just really appreciate any support that's possible that way to help us continue the work that we're doing. I do a lot of volunteer work, and I'm very grateful to be able to do that. But just a bit of support there would certainly be very much appreciated. I don't often ask for that, but I am in a position now where I really do need to, especially since my own articles are being hacked as badly as they have been for going on 12 months now.
Well, explain that. Exactly how have your articles been hacked?
Well, I put my articles, I've written over 250 articles about the Gulf, and what happens is, there's a variety of things that can happen. The most important one, though, is we're supposed to keep, a tally is automatically kept as to how many people read those articles, and my articles, the last time we were allowed to know how many people subscribed to our articles, I had well over 1,000 subscribers, and I was one of the top people writing for the company until I started writing a lot about this. And all of a sudden, it was like only 2 people would read my articles. And no matter what I would do or how I would market it, and I know sometimes you put them on your website, you know, and it's like, okay, well, 2 more people read them. It's not even physically possible, right? So someone slipped. I think some of them quit doing their job in December. I had something like 140,000 views of my articles, which is probably about what it should be each month. And then as soon as the new month started, oh, down to 2 again. So that's been happening ever since the 1st of January. That's the worst because I'm on the Gawker system. I get paid by the number of people who view my articles. So what this type of hacking does is it causes self-censorship. Self-censorship being when a writer or quits writing because they either figure they're not valued or because they can't earn the money doing it. So they actually censor themselves by quitting, by stopping their publications. Another way is to just not show, like today, I wrote about the funeral in the Gulf. Now, I tweeted that right after I published it. Well, you know the little counters on the articles?
Yeah.
When people tweet on mine, most of the time it doesn't show up. It doesn't add. It just stays at zero. So no matter how many people tweet it, and it can go out to 20,000 tweets on one person's Twitter, you know, or it can just go. No matter how many times people tweet it, on my page, it stays at zero. So it kind of looks like nobody likes the article for a start, and it also shows that when I get paid 2 cents, well, that's why, obviously. Nobody cares enough to tweet it or dig it or put it on Facebook.
Articles disappearing.
And then plenty of times, thank you, articles will just disappear. Some of the articles that I've done have just been pulled, yanked off the internet. That happens to a lot of people who are advocating in the best interest of humanity, let's put it that way.
And let me guess, you don't actually get a notice saying, oh, this is infringing content, we're going to remove it. It just gets removed, and you don't even get told about it. And then you find out later on, hold on a sec.
Oh, exactly.
That's very scary and very suspicious, too. And ladies and gentlemen, I have just uploaded, while Deborah's been speaking here, the BS logos. So if you go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com/humor, that's humor with a U, H-U-M-O-U-R, that's the proper English spelling, .html, so it's thevinnieeastwoodshow.com/humor. .html, you can see the BP logo. I've done both the new one and the old one. You know, it's now BS. And also the fabulous work done by my friend Roy McDougall, based on my original concept, Cola Exit. That's right. And it's shipped by hazmat truck to your local 7-Eleven. And you get special discounts if you live on the Gulf Coast. So,
that is
yeah.
So wonderful, Vinny. Thank you so much for that. I just can't wait to share that with my friends. They're going to be so appreciative.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think it's I was going to talk about sort of power and responsibility, and this is what the world has come down to. Once you know something, it is your responsibility to do something about it. So anybody who's listening to the show now, you don't have any convenient excuses anymore because now you know what's going on down in the Gulf and you have to do something, right?
I knew what was
going on. I take my responsibility seriously, you know. That's why I do this radio show. I may joke around about stuff or anything, but ultimately I take things far more seriously than most people on this entire planet do.
Vinny, you know, I wanted to mention, I don't complain about the censorship and what's happened to me, probably not even as much as I should, but in a way, I'm one of the lucky ones. If all they do is pull down my articles and try to keep the truth from being told, and they don't do anything else to me, I am truly one of the lucky ones. There have been for between 9 and 16 Gulf oil whistleblowers who have been in prison or, like I said before, died unexpectedly. These are scientists. These are people who were doing really outstanding work, and they are no longer with us. And it all happened within about 12 months.
And someone from your from one of your colleagues there had asked me who the others were. Gregory Stone from LSU was really popular. He was doing wonderful things, died of an unknown illness within days he was from when he was diagnosed. Anthony Tremonto, Mississippi Department of Marine Resource Officer from Ocean Springs. He was arrested out of the blue, on child porno charges. People who know him say absolutely no way. I don't know, but interesting that he was really advocating for the people of the Gulf. John Wheeler, of course. Now that was a really interesting one. Former Pentagon official and presidential aide, and a defense consultant, and an expert on chemical and biological weapons, beaten to death in an assault. His body was discovered in the Wilmington landfill. We still don't have any further information about that. James Black died in a plane crash, just like others did. He was the incender for BP's Gulf of Mexico oil spill response team. He was in charge of the entire response team. And his plane just came down. He apparently was one of the good guys.
That's another thing as well. People need to realize that just because you're traveling, even on commercial airliners, like for example, there was a plane coming from France that went down just off of South America last year, and two of the people on that plane were about to expose major gun running operations in that area of the world connected to a lot of Western governments, and the plane went down magically, and they still don't know what the heck happened to it. And it just comes down to show you that it doesn't matter who they have to kill, what has to be covered up. There is no lengths to which are taboo for these type of people. How do you fight an enemy like that? I can tell you what, it's determination. Because if you know exactly what they're capable of, then you start to realize just how powerful you are, that they need to resort to such lengths to keep you quiet. It means that you're on the right track.
Yeah, so I would like to ask your listeners just to keep all of the whistleblowers in your best wishes and join us, if you will, please. There is strength in numbers, and we really need people out there to become more familiar with this horrid reality and join with us. People down here in the South need humanitarian aid. They need people to just say, yeah, we really do understand, even, you know, and they're open to people sending detox supplements, good natural. If you look under Coming Clean, there, I have the book free. That book of mine that I helped compile is absolutely free, Coming Clean. And there are wonderful ideas, suggestions in their protocol guidelines of how people can get these toxins out of their bodies for very little money. But mainly we need people in the other we need people around the world to help reach out, because people every day I'm asked, who are our allies, who's going to come help when our own government is doing this to us? The answer is
they're not. You know, you have to help yourself. People have to be their own saviors. You don't wait around for somebody to come to your aid. You either need to go out and you need to seek that aid, or you need to realize that you are the one that is the most powerful in this situation and in the best position to help yourself.
Yeah, that's really true. But you know, when there's a humanitarian crisis and people are dying, it's really hard just to tell those people who are dying, now you just get up and help yourself. And I know it's frustrating. I've been through the same thing. You've got to get up. You've got to get out of there. Well, that's what a humanitarian crisis is all about. It's when people really are so crippled they cannot crawl out of the hole that they're in or that they've been bombed into. And this is why we have humanitarian aid. And I can tell you that the situation down here in along the Gulf Coast is just as
horrendous as any humanitarian crisis.
This could be the worst humanitarian crisis, like, ever.
Well, the other thing that I would like to remind the listeners is that all of our oceans are connected. We are really and truly all one on this earth. And when you think about what's in our ocean, what's in our Gulf, which is the sixth largest body of water, that's all tipping into every other body of water. We all need to be paying attention to what's going on here.
That's right. We're going off to break. Deborah, the Gulf of Oil Cano Crisis, coming to a beach near you. Back in a minute at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Look at me, driving and I won't stop. And it feels so good to be alive and on top. My reach is global, my tower secure. My cause is noble, my power is pure. I can handle a million vaccinations, let them all die in acceleration.
Final segment! It's unfortunate. It's kind of like that movie 2012. I wish we had more time. My very special guest is Deborah Dupre. And what I normally do in the final segments of the shows, if I can remember, is I ask my very special guests to divulge something that they don't normally talk about because either it doesn't come up in the conversation or perhaps it's a bit of a taboo topic. Because everybody seems to self-censor themselves just a little bit these days, don't they? And so I always try to encourage people to sort of express exactly what they want to express, exactly how they want to say it, and I will interpret it in the most positive and accepting way possible. So, Deborah, if anything springs to mind based on those parameters, fire away.
Oh, thank you, Vinny. Yeah, you've pressured me about this a little bit once before, as I recall. I don't usually speak about my own issues of being targeted, but you know, I don't mind saying I have experienced enough to know just how cruel the big energy combined with drug they're interconnected, these transnational organizations. And yeah, it's kind of hard to be active in the New Orleans area without maybe getting your fingers burned a little bit by them if you're known to have a big mouth or just fighting for the underdog. And so my history with that goes back to the late 1980s. And I know very well when I hear targeted individuals tell me their stories, I pay attention, because as bizarre and horrendous as it sounds, as unbelievable as it sounds, I can say that it is true. These people have access to some of the worst types of technology, and they're really good at the old COINTELPRO dirty tricks that can just slay people. So, I've written a couple of segments in my book about that, which I've never done, but in the book Vampire Macondo, people will be able to read more about my own personal experiences with big energy and what they did after threatening me, and I wouldn't back down, nor would my son in the film industry. So there's some good little surprises like that in Vampire Macondo. Yeah, and as I mentioned, that book is available on Triage TV News right now. If people want to prepay, they'll get one of the very first signed copies of the book.
And who's publishing
them? All About the Gulf. I'm self-publishing it to start off with, and then it's going... Yeah,
because I'm sure that every publishing house in the United States has already been contacted by BP. Do not publish Deborah's book!
Well, you know, my son, the last film that he did, The Big Fix, we had an international distributor, and we were at Cannes Film Festival. The film, The Big Fix, was at Cannes Film Festival. It's a dynamite film. And we had distributor on all the posters. Ha! Poor guy. My poor son realized after we were there only 2 days, distributor pulled out, BP got to them. So I think it's just as well that I just go ahead and publish this. This is pretty, how would I say it? It's very explicit
It's very revealing, things that people would not know or probably would never have known about how BP and the United States military have been working in cahoots for many, many years. And it lists even how much each university, $10 million to LSU, $10 million to South Florida, $10 million to Mississippi State University, Alabama Marine Sciences got a big whopping $5 million to do the research that people are reading about. But it's all BP grants, so BP decides what can and cannot be exposed in that research. Great chapter on how the medical machine has been co-opted by the medical mafia down here to keep all of the Gulf issue.
Oh, it's gotten down
so that it's covered up.
It's seeming to me, Deborah, pretty straightforward that they're covering all their bases here. Anybody who you would come to for help or information has either been bought off or has sold out of that information. There's nothing left out there.
And one of the worst parts is that the people have been so isolated just from the rest of the nation, because that's one of the favorite tactics of sociopaths these days is to isolate the target so that they have no support whatsoever, and that's exactly what they've done to everybody along the Gulf. Just keep it all on so that nobody believes them if they say how bad it is, and that way nobody will come help them.
Yeah, and in fact, I'd like to read you out something here that I wrote the other day. Is you know Len Horowitz and Sherry Kane, I'm sure, because
we're just talking about them, the wonderful, wonderful people.
Yeah, and they've recently just doing a site about COINTELPRO, and it's like I've written my reply. So, question one: what is your definition of COINTELPRO and controlled opposition? My definition is persons or organizations that form different sides of a debate that instead preach or engage in the very message they purport to oppose. Thus, when someone gets fed up with one wrong argument, they naturally assume the other one must be correct and swing across only to be captured by another false argument set up in collusion with other interested parties.
That's very good, Jenny. That's... excellent.
I'm not finished. Number two, what impact do you see this operation having on society? The impact of this operation is vast. Many people who are truth seekers are often captured by it and waste significant proportions of their time following people whom they had falsely believed to be telling the truth. Moreover, it often also affects even high-level figures and activists in the truth movement whom have had to suffer demonization, abuse, and harassment based on frivolous and malicious lies intended to discredit them and destroy their reputation. Hence, advancing the agenda of COINTELPRO to distract, derail, and disable people who are becoming effective at exposing them. And number three, as a victim of cause stalking and internet fraud and libel, what do you propose as a solution to this ongoing criminal activity? Firstly, ignore. When you are targeted, often being lied about will produce a streak of indignation and you'll be tempted to reply and to set the record straight. This is a waste of time. Facebook and YouTube and many other platforms have a block function for a reason. Oftentimes, blocking an account is the quickest and easiest way to balance one's chi. But what if they persist? Record. Recording any calls, take screenshots of comments, and keep them on file for future use. Expose. When you feel you've got enough material from your COINTELPRO to make them look like an utter scumbag, then it's time to expose them. A simple video on YouTube with the material you've gathered is a simple and straightforward way of allowing others who may encounter said individual to know the truth quickly and avoid wasting their research time finding out whether COINTELPRO accusations are true. Video doesn't lie. And finally, reach out. And this is what we were talking about earlier, Deborah. Remember that you are never alone. Your friends and family, colleagues and others are often the best source of comfort when you are under attack. Do not sit back and think you can handle it by yourself, as seeking guidance from a trusted person is often the best medicine for a frustrated mind. In short, never let your enemies isolate you.
Vinny, I would love for you to send that to me. I would, if with your permission, I would really like to publish that. I have so many people who are subscribers, all two of them, of course. They would really, really appreciate being able to read this, I know. I've probably written 300 articles just on targeted individuals. Look, that's fantastic, Vinny. Thank you. That is really great. Spot on.
And it comes down to the fact that I talk to a lot of people who suffer this kind of attack, and I see how it really affects them. And
I put a lot of thought into it. Who are being cause stalked?
Yeah, all the time.
Oh, Vinny, maybe I need to interview you some next time, okay, mister?
Sure.
That'd be great. Yeah, that'd be really good. I didn't realize that. What a man. What a young man. You're really wonderful. Yeah, well, my hat. I salute all of them. If any of them are listening tonight or whatever hour of the day it is there down under, or New Zealand, I wouldn't want to say down under. That might be an insult to you New Zealanders. I really salute everybody who knows what cause stalking is. Because you've got to be one of the absolute best people on earth to know.
Yeah, exactly. And this is the thing. When you are the brightest shining light, that is when the biggest, baddest darkness will become aware of you and start to draw their plans against you. And by golly, you need to cluster around other stars and guiding lights, both within and without yourself, in order to repel that darkness. And I count you as one of those bright, shining stars out there helping to bring light to this dark situation in the Gulf. And thank you so much for coming on the show today, Deborah. And if you would please shamelessly plug your website before we go, so that all two of your subscribers can hit up your latest work. Go for your life.
Thank you so very much. You're just an absolute gem. I want to thank you on behalf of all 40 million people of the Gulf who are being persecuted to death right now. Yeah, the website is Triage TV News. There's a little spot right up in the right-hand corner where you can prepay for your copy of Vampire of Macondo, and that would be most appreciated to help us get through this last little stretch before the book is actually published. It will be launched on April 20th, the second year anniversary of the 40 million people of the Gulf being carpet bombed by their own government and BP. Vinny, thank you so much.
No, thank you. And we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. The archives will be posted at AmericanFreedomRadio.com.